Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
12:10, time to call the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Pomp had to split. He had to head to the Steelers facility. The Mike Tomlin press conference, which is hosted by him, starts at 2:30. We will be carrying that live on 93.7 The Fan. Normally, it's going on right now. Normally, the press conference goes until 12 to 12:30, and then Joe breaks it down. Not the case today. A little change of plans. And that is because the Steelers are practicing today, and Mike Tomlin speaking afterwards, and due to NFL rules, teams need 3 consecutive days off after a Thursday night game. And following the loss in Cleveland, they had film sessions on Fridays, so that was not an off day. Tomlin gave them off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so they come into practice today. And Mike Tomlin will be speaking in about 2 hours and change ahead of the matchup with Cincinnati on Sunday, which we can get. We'll get back into that as we go at 412-928-9370. We'll take a couple of your calls on that. Also want to get into some college football here in a moment. We'll get into another little conversation about the Penguins as well. We'll have Mo Egger from ESPN Radio in Cincinnati. He'll join us a little bit over an hour from now to help preview that Steelers and Bengals matchup. And then I guess we'll play a round of Text in the City. Is that still a daily routine? I'm used to the show on Fridays limits. I don't know if that is something you guys do daily still.
It's been more so thrown into the rotation, but if the texters bring it, let's do it.
All right, so the texters got
to
bring it.
The texters have to bring it, and they typically do. So a little challenge for the texters. Bring it with your best text of the day.
Yeah, and you can hit us up on that fan text line at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So college football here. The Pitt Panthers have now lost four straight games. We have seen examples of pitting before, but I didn't see this one coming. This was a complete pit fall, which is a line that I used earlier in the show with Bob. SMU and Clemson, okay. I think people could have seen those losses. SMU was on the road. Good team, a team that's very much in the mix for the college football playoff, which we'll get to in a few minutes. Clemson is Clemson. They've been the class of the ACC for quite a while now. But you mix in a loss to Virginia and then a brutal loss to Louisville. And I don't mean that Louisville's a bad team, because they're not. The way they lost that game is tough to swallow. This team looks lifeless right now. And I don't know if they win on Saturday against Boston College. A lot of us wanted to chalk that up as a victory even before the season. I don't know if that happens. Pitt is 7-4. Boston College is 6-5. I don't know if we see that on Saturday. I don't know if the Panthers get a win. I don't know if they win another game. And there's only going to be two left. They will have this game on Saturday, and then whatever bowl game they get into, which could be against somebody like Michigan, by the way. I saw in a projection that it could be Pitt and Michigan in the Pinstripe Bowl.
I'd go to that, Donnie.
It'd be a more interesting Pinstripe Bowl matchup than we've seen in the past with the Pitt Panthers.
Yeah, when they're playing some random Big 12 team.
Yeah, big brand in there like Michigan. I mean, that's coming off a season in which they won a national title. I mean, yeah, they're not having a good year, clearly, but you throw Pitt in against them, I think that's a good look.
That would be a very curious game to watch, just because what state is Pitt in at that point? And the same thing with Michigan. I mean, what a fall from grace for them. But then here comes the NIL collective providing them a new quarterback next year.
I think that there's a real chance that Pitt, not knowing who they play in a bowl game, I think there's a real chance that they could end up finishing 7-6 after a 7-0 start. And from a year-to-year look, that is an upgrade. But it is hard to be worse than last season. They were 3-9. It was ugly all the way around. The Jurkovic experience was not a fun one. They come hot out of the gate. Eli Holstein looks like he's going to put himself in the Heisman conversation. The Panthers are 7-0. They have a couple of exciting come-from-behind wins against Cincinnati, West Virginia. But now I have to concede to Joe on this. We had this discussion about a month ago. It was going into the Steelers' bye week, so it was a big college football Friday. And here I was thinking that, okay, Pitt could lose the game at SMU. I picked Pitt to win the game at SMU, but thinking this could be the first stumbling point. Maybe they lose to Clemson. But that was really all I envisioned, because I did think for the most part they were playing pretty good football. They had their warts. They had games here and there that they snuck out of. You think of those come from behind wins. That game against California was ugly. They got out of that one. The game against Syracuse, they looked dominant defensively. The offense wasn't really asked to do a whole lot. But now here I am, after Joe posed the question, would it be a failure if they don't get to 10 wins? I still don't feel like a 10-win season was the barometer, because that would have been a huge success to me if they got to 10 wins. But it looked so easy a month ago that they were going to reach 10 wins, and now it is not going to happen. At most, they will win 9. But here I was thinking, well, there's no way Pitt's going to lose every game left, or, you know, lose four games. I don't think that's going to happen. But we're sitting here today, and that is what they have done. They got blown out by SMU. They lost a bad, ugly game at home to Virginia, which I tried to go the Costanza route on. When we picked those games, Austin, I tried to go the full George Costanza and say, you know what? I feel like Virginia's going to keep this close and give Pitt a scare, but just because of that, I'll pick Pitt to cover. They not only did they not cover, they lost the game outright to Virginia. They did play a pretty spirited game against Clemson. They lost the game. They gave up a touchdown with, 30 seconds to go. They lose the game to Clemson, but they actually looked like they had life in that game, and then they go to Louisville and they get butchered. They get embarrassed. They get beat up and down the field for 60 minutes. Now, they can really right the ship here at the end of the season if they do win their final two games, if they finish 9-4. I still think that's a really good look compared to where they were last season. And after a bad stretch, they can end things on a high note. But a month ago, Austin, we had that discussion thinking, you know, we're on both sides of that SMU game, but I didn't expect them to drop four games in a row and look so bad doing it. Because besides that Clemson game, they looked dead on arrival with the other three.
Well, I don't think anybody could have saw this coming. I mean, this is as big of a fall from grace as you could have possibly had. Your quarterback's hurt. People are questioning your hotshot offensive coordinator who made everything go in the first seven games. Your defense has not made timely plays when they really need to. People questioning Pat Narduzzi. Things could not be worse right now for Pitt football. We went from the highest of highs talking about potentially a college football playoff bid for the first time ever for Pitt, which was, I mean, people might poo-poo it now. It was a realistic possibility. Look, the ACC is weak. Pitt had Clemson on the ropes at home. I thought they were going to win that game. That's the type of game that Pitt usually bounces back from after a disappointing loss and wins when everybody counts them out and doesn't give them a chance. From the highest of highs to the lowest of lows, talking about not winning another game and maybe going into a bowl game with a 7-5 record after having seven wins for the first time in a row since 81. I mean, it's just, I'm looking at this season now as really successful first half, disappointing, unsuccessful second half. And what does everybody remember, Donnie? It'll be the second half, how the season ended, not how you started. And people are going to dub this season a failure.
Yeah, I mean, and I pushed back to Joe when he said that this season would be a failure if they don't reach 10 wins, which again, I still think if they would have done that, then that would have looked a whole lot different. But the fact that they very well could not win another game. Like, if they lose on Saturday, they're going to limp into bowl season, and who knows where they end up with. Brett McMurphy, by the way, from the Action Network, one of the top college football insiders out there, he's the one that has Pitt and Michigan in the Pinstripe Bowl on December 28th. So they could really limp into a bowl game. And early in the season, a month ago, yeah, we had the college football playoff conversations, which, yeah, we're getting out over our skis, but Pitt at least had the right to have that conversation because we were into, you know, we were halfway through the season and the Panthers had not lost a game. And that wish has been dead and buried now for weeks. But then we thought, okay, well, maybe Pitt can get a bowl game on New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. That's not going to happen either. The Panthers are going to end up playing on, you know, a date right around Christmas, maybe a couple of days after. Who knows? And now I'm being reminded as I scroll through this, Austin, of all of some of the funny bowl names, which I think this one is funny to me. It's just called the Detroit Bowl, and the logo is just the Lions logo.
Now sponsored by the Lions at Ford Field. What about the Pop-Tart Bowl? Can we bring that back?
They do have it back. I love the Pop-Tart Bowl. I think of all the silly bowls that they have made, that's one that should absolutely stay. I love the Pop-Tart Bowl. They have like the big edible Pop-Tarts.
That took the world by storm, Donnie.
That was a great addition. A great addition to bowl season.
Remember when West Virginia won the Duke's Mayo Bowl last year? How exciting that was? Yeah, Neil Brown dubbed in, downed in Mayo.
I think any of the ones that are around food are always a good hit. The Idaho Potato Bowl, the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, the Fiesta. Well, so here's the other thing. When I was a kid, I didn't really understand how sponsors worked. The Fiesta Bowl had the best sponsor for years because it was the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. It sounded like that was the actual bowl name. And when I was a kid, that was the sponsor for so many years. That's just what I thought it was. And then out of nowhere, it was like the Verbo Fiesta Bowl. I'm like, oh, well, that just doesn't feel the same.
Or
like,
the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. You think they're serving peaches at Chick-fil-A?
I think they have instituted the peach milkshake now, I want to say.
But you're not going to Chick-fil-A and getting peach milkshakes?
I am not doing that, no. I worked at a Chick-fil-A in high school, and I would not do that. There were things that they, for as good as Chick-fil-A is, there were things they would put on that menu, and I'm like, who the hell's coming here to get that? Who? Who? Yeah, Chick-fil-A, I'm looking at it right now. They're right next to each other. The Verbo Fiesta Bowl, the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. But that lets me transition into this, Austin. The college football playoff rankings, another batch of those will come out tonight. And saw a couple of projections. This first one from ESPN Plus. I might butcher these names. Kyle Bonagura and Mark Schlabach. They combined on these. They both have Penn State as a 7 seed in the playoffs. So I guess dropping down a seed from where they were. One of them has the Nittany Lions hosting Tennessee.
No thanks.
And the other one has the Nittany Lions hosting Arizona State.
I'd take that any day of the week if you're a Penn State fan watching that game.
I think one of those as a Penn State fan, which is why that I'm glad I have you here to bounce these off. I think one of those is far more attractive than the other. I feel like the Tennessee matchup as a viewer, like an outside viewer, that's one I would like to see. Like that's a good, like that just sounds like a really good college football game. But if you're a fan and you want to see your team advance, I'm going to pick Arizona State instead of Tennessee there.
What I don't understand from some Penn State fans on Twitter and just talking to some people is, I see Penn State fans in comments saying, we want Georgia. Give us Tennessee. They can't come up to Beaver Stadium in the 30-degree weather. That won't work. They'll shrivel up. They're not going to be able to play in that. Really? You want to play Georgia. You do realize that Penn State will be 10-point dogs in that game against Georgia. I don't care how many losses Georgia has. Georgia or Tennessee comes to Happy Valley, they're going to be favored by a touchdown. You play Arizona State, you play BYU, you play Notre Dame, I like the chances a lot better. And if you get seeded with one of those teams and then Miami, you might be able to start penciling in some tickets to the Final Four. I'd much rather have that than what's the most attractable game. You want the game that's going to be the best matchup to get you to where you want to be. Not the game against Georgia because it might be fun.
Yeah, I was surprised by the amount of people that last week, and we both know this guy, that our guy Joe Smeltzer, who writes for Nittany Sports Now, he put out there after the current rankings came out as of last Tuesday, when it was a Penn State-Georgia hypothetical matchup. But that's where I was getting a lot of that from, too. I was going through his replies because he just said, how would you, Penn State fans, how would you feel about this matchup? The amount of people that were saying, bring on Georgia. Let's see them come up to Happy Valley. They can't play in the snow. They can't play when it's cold. I don't know if you want to take that bet.
No, nope.
I don't know if you want to take that chance. Like, Georgia, I know Ole Miss just lost, but, we can joke about the SEC and how they always say, oh, it's just different in the SEC. That wouldn't make me, as a Penn State fan, say, oh, yeah, I want to see that team round one, a team that could very easily knock us out and ruin our playoff dreams.
Does anybody remember the Peach Bowl in Atlanta against Ole Miss, Penn State had opt-outs, I understand that, but Ole Miss did too, and Ole Miss won by a couple of different scores. Sure, it might be different in Beaver Stadium, but Georgia is better than Ole Miss last year and this year. I just would not like that matchup on paper. It would be a fun game, but I don't think Penn State would win it.
Yeah, I mean, if you weren't, you know, if you were looking at this like I was, where I'm not, you know, I'm not a Penn State fan, but I want to see like a good college football game on that day, then yeah, like Penn State, Georgia, Penn State, Tennessee, like those are very attractive to me. But if you are a Penn State fan like you are, I want to stay far away from them. Like, I'm completely on your side there. I want the easy road.
I want to play Boise State, you know? I want to play one of these teams that are limping into the playoffs. I mean, that's what it is for the number one seed in the NFL playoffs. That's why you want the top seed, so that you'd play the lowest remaining seed possible. You don't want to be Buffalo and say, all right, let's play Kansas City in the first round. Let's take the biggest chance and the biggest challenge we have to try to prove something. You want the best road possible to get there.
There was also John Liuzzi from USA Today. He had a different look at this, which I think this also benefits the Nittany Lions. Six seed Penn State hosting Indiana. That seems like a very beneficial matchup.
I'd take that. I think Indiana at this point, I mean, were they a little bit exposed against Ohio State? Yeah. I think they're a good team.
That projection also sees, yeah, I mean, in Indiana, I think for a while, they were like the darlings of college football this season because they took their undefeated season into this past week, and then Ohio State beat them by, what, three scores in that game. So that projection would also see Arizona State the 12 at Ohio State the 5. This one I do think is interesting. SMU at Notre Dame in the 10-7 matchup. And then Tennessee and Georgia in the 9-8 matchup. As cool as that one would be, I was talking to you about this before the show. I'm not overly thrilled about conference matchups in that first round of the college football playoff. I know that in some cases they haven't played each other. Like Penn State and Indiana did not play each other this year. But I don't know. Like I want to see out of conference games in that first round of the playoffs. If it happens to turn into a conference game later on, then that's, you know, that's whatever. That's how it shakes out. I don't want to see, I don't know, Penn State Indiana doesn't get the juices flowing like it would for a game out of conference. Like even if it's Penn State and SMU or something like that. Like I would rather see two teams that really never play battle in that first round game.
And how about Boise State right now being projected to be as a number 4 seed? Because the Big 12 has just completely fallen apart.
Yeah.
West Virginia's still alive to win the Big 12.
Crowley told me today, like, all the stuff that needs to happen for them to get in. They need, like, 6 or 7 games to go a certain way. Which, we've seen the Steelers get lucky about things like that on, you know, week 18s or week 17s back in the day where you needed like 3 or 4 teams to lose. They'd get either all of it or almost all of it. So I guess it would be one of the crazy things to happen. There's another projection that is live right now on ESPN. This sounding very similar to the USA Today one. Penn State and Indiana, the 6-11 matchup. The winner plays Miami.
I'd take that. And then the winner of that game would play Texas. I'd be all in favor of that. If you were Penn State, maybe an SMU or Notre Dame knocked off Tennessee. I don't think so. But, I mean, if you look at that bracket, Heather Dinkich's bracket right now, Ohio State is going to beat Arizona State. They should easily handle Boise. And then it sets up another rematch in the Big Ten championship game. Are we going to get Ohio State and Oregon 3 times? Is this going to be like the AFC North Steelers-Ravens battles to go to the championship game?
It could be. But plus, like, that really does, like, looking at it there, That really is, like, best-case scenario, I feel, for Penn State.
No doubt.
Because Oregon's going to get Tennessee. They could also get Georgia. They're going to get the winner of Tennessee and Georgia. And then who knows what happens there. Like,
and
Georgia
Texas
could
is
very
vulnerable.
Easily win the game.
Texas is vulnerable. And Quinn Ewers, I mean, what's his status? How banged up might he be for the rest of the year? Could Arch Manning step up? There's a lot going on in college football.
Yeah, so I mean, based on that, based on the USA Today one that we were talking about, I think it certainly does benefit more if you're a Penn State fan that they end up drawing a team like Indiana or maybe Arizona State. But the Indiana one just doesn't get the juices flowing for me as a fan. But I can certainly understand if you're a fan of the team, like, hey, what gets my team to the championship or gets them close? Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I'm rooting for. Fan Twitter, that's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Would love to have a little conversation about college football coming up. If you're a Pitt fan and you see this stumbling take place, the Panthers have lost four in a row. Do you think they're going to win on Saturday? Do you think they're going to win a bowl game?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Provider for over 60 years. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 2. Pony and Chris come your way after that. The Mike Tomlin press conference at 2:30 today, so that you can listen to that live right here on The Fan. They will go to it live. Bob Pompeiani hosting that as always. He joined us from 10 until noon today. If you want to go back and listen to any of that chat, you can using the free Odyssey app. Austin Bechtold, our guy, City Limits behind the glass. Austin, while you were taking a couple of phone calls there in break, I just started laughing because one of our guys on the text line who hits us up pretty often, George and Plum, he's just on a streak right now, a hot streak. And the one that really got me laughing was, you guys should have a trivia contest where the winner gets 2 Penguins tickets and the loser gets 6 Penguins tickets. They stink.
Good grief. George and Plum is a text in the city Hall of Famer, Donnie. I feel like he thinks about these in the middle of the day, puts them in his notes app and send them in during the show because he loves sending them in.
It made me laugh out loud, and I just put it out there on Twitter as well. So George and Plum, just keep up the great work. That was a really good one. Keep them coming on the text line, because if they're good, we will do text in the city today to finish out today's show. But I'm going to take your calls right now on a couple of college football topics. 412-928-9370. The Pitt Panthers have lost 4 consecutive games. Do you think they'll win another game? 412-928-9370. They'll have this game on Saturday against Boston College that you can listen to right here on 93.7 The Fan, and then they will play in a bowl game that will be announced later on. The current projection from one of the top college football insiders in the land is that Pitt would play Michigan in the Pinstripe Bowl. That would be a little bit more attractive than some of the other matchups in the Pinstripe Bowl over the years. 412-928-9370. If you're a Penn State fan, do you agree with fellow Penn State fan Austin Bechtold saying, hey, I want the easiest route to a potential championship. I don't want to see Georgia. I don't want to see Tennessee in the college football playoff. Give me Arizona State. Give me Indiana. I don't want to see a team from the SEC. If you agree with them, if you disagree with them, either way, 412-928-9370. Mark in Brentwood is on the fan. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Donnie, first off, great show today. No disrespect to you, Austin, but Donnie, as always, spot on topics analysis. I love it. I just want to to make my point as to why I hate a 12-team playoff, and it kind of goes to what Austin said about, you know, give me these weaker teams against Penn State. Why would you not want to play the best teams? I think it should be the top eight. Give me the top eight best teams. Give me the most attractive games. I want to be entertained, like in Gladiator. Are you not entertained watching these games? Would you not agree?
Yeah, Mark, I see your point there. I think that the 12-team is a way to keep programs, fans, etc., engaged in the season as it goes on. Because now that it's more than four teams, you actually feel like if your team is undefeated or just having, you know, sort of a Cinderella-type season, you feel like your team has a shot to at least get in. Like when Pitt started 7-0, there was actual reason. Now, it may look ridiculous now, given how the last month has gone, but they were 7-0. There was reason to actually have that dream, no matter how far-fetched it was, to have that dream of Pitt being in the college football playoff, because you can basically nail that down. If you're an undefeated team in a Power 4 conference, it's not Power 5 anymore, undefeated team in a Power 4 conference, you're going to get in. So it's not like Pitt could have had that season, but hey, they lose out to teams like Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, throw them in there. Like, they would have lost out to those teams, so it would have been an undefeated season all for naught. Like, kind of how things happened for Florida State last season. They finish undefeated. They're a Power 4 conference champion. Their quarterback gets hurt. They don't make the playoff. Now they get obliterated by Georgia in their bowl game. And now they're having a pretty historically bad season. But that's besides the main point. With a 12-team playoff, that keeps you engaged a whole lot longer. Now, they're not going to downsize at this point. So to what Mark said there, give me the eight best teams. That would have maybe been more realistic for people off the bat, maybe go from 4 to 8 to 12. But I think 12 ensures a couple of things. You do, I think those top four teams do deserve a bye. Like, you give an incentive to be one of the best four. So those teams get a bye, and then you play it from there. I do think the matchups are going to still be a lot of fun. Maybe you have a game in there that isn't a whole lot of fun. Like, maybe Penn State plays Indiana and Penn State beats them by 3 touchdowns. Okay, so you have that, but I think the other games could be more attractive. Plus, let's also not act like the college football playoff, when it was at four teams, was absolutely perfect. Because it seemed like for a while, we certainly got our classics in there, but it seemed like almost every year, at least one of those games was a bloodbath, an absolute bloodbath. I mean, think of the national title game, 2 years ago? Is that when it was, Austin? Was Georgia and TCU?
Yeah.
Game was 65-7. It was a bloodbath. So it's not like four teams was perfect either, where it's, hey, we got the best four teams. This is going to be great.
And it was always, who's that fourth team that's going to get in and get blown out by the number one seed?
Yeah, and then that's what happened. I mean, the most intriguing years were like when Alabama or Georgia would lose a game, or maybe Ohio State would lose a game, and they would end up being that four seed, because then you knew the 1-4 matchup would be a lot more exciting. But, you know, as cool as it was to see a team like TCU get in there, the national championship game was just a disaster of a game. 412-928-9370. Joe is in Mount Lebanon. What's up, Joe?
Hi, Donnie. Great show as always. Pat Narduzzi's legacy at Pitt, Donnie, has been lack of discipline, stupid penalties, and defensive meltdowns. The man has had two good years in 10 years, okay? They're going to get blown out by Boston College, and the players should take a vote not to even go to a bowl. If you like going to Weed Whacker Bowls, Pinstripe Bowls, then Narduzzi's your man. But he's never going to take you to the next level, Donnie, okay? Thanks for letting me vent, Denny.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Joe. The Weed Whacker Bowl, I like that one. I think that would actually be that's probably not too far away. We're going to get, like, I don't know, like the John Deere Weed Whacker Bowl.
Deere Mow the Lawn Bowl?
Yeah. Well, don't they already have one of those? Like, they have, like, the – what's the one that's sponsored by the – I think it is the Pinstripe Bowl, isn't it? It's sponsored – yeah, Bad Boy Mowers.
Yeah.
The Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. We're not far away from the Weed Whacker Bowl, my friend.
What about the 68 Ventures Bowl? You ever heard of that? Or the Rate Bowl?
You know which one I thought was funny last year that I didn't know what it meant until I saw a commercial for it? When they had the Wasabi Fenway Bowl.
Yeah.
You hear wasabi, and I'm thinking of like the little spicy food.
Yes.
So that's what I thought it was, and I'm thinking, like, yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, Fenway, you know, it's Boston. Like, I don't really think of wasabi when I think of the city of Boston.
That,
like,
would have been a fun press box
meal. You
could have
made it like the Bean Counters Fenway Bowl or something. They're a pretty big coffee town up there. But then wasabi was some sort of, like, tech company.
Jerry Palm has West Virginia playing Florida and the Gasparilla Bowl.
That was always a good one. Do we still have the Poinsettia Bowl? I always like that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't see it on here. The Sun Bowl, I always felt like, was that next bowl. It's not the New Year's Six, but it's like the next good one. Syracuse and USC is projected to play in the Sun Bowl. Is it really that good of a game then?
Your dad's probably around the same age as mine, maybe a little bit younger. Like, my dad is into his early 60s, so what, your dad's probably into his 50s or mid-50s.
No,
whatever.
Right in that range, yeah.
Does he ever have the conversation with you like my dad does pretty much annually when it gets around to these games? Because, like, I'll be down with my parents right after Christmas, so some of these silly bowl games will still be taking place. And it's always like the, you know, when I was a kid, we had six bowl games. We had the Cotton Bowl. We had the Rose Bowl. We had the Sugar Bowl. And, like, he rattles off a couple others.
The Orange Bowl.
Yeah, the Orange Bowl was a big one. There's another one that was, like, huge back then that's not so big now.
Probably the Sun Bowl.
The Sun Bowl probably was one of those because that's been around.
Might have been the Duke's Mayo Bowl, Donnie. Was it the Duke's Mayo Bowl?
Oh, no. I why do I feel like the Gator Bowl was like a pretty big one back in the day?
I think it might have been.
Yeah, so like that one that's like lost its luster a little bit. But anyway, like, it's always that conversation. Like, we had six bowl games back in the day, or like, we had 10 bowl games. Now they just have too many, which I think there is obviously an argument there that there are too many. But whenever the money that is tied up to it, I mean, you're not gonna see that decrease.
No, too many bowl games. They're trying to expand the NCAA tournament more than 68 teams, which would be a crime.
Yeah, see, I think it's perfect how it is.
Keep it the way it is. Keep the schedule the way it is. Basketball all day. I like the first four. I think that was a good implementation.
And those games are often pretty good.
Yeah. I've been to Dayton for a first four game. That Pitt game that they played in the first four a couple years ago was a really good game.
Yeah. I mean, the Blake Hinson three was unreal.
Yeah. Mississippi State.
Yeah, that was a really good – that venue always looked pretty cool, too, because it's, like, cool, it's pretty old, right?
Yeah, but it's renovated.
You got, like,
it looks
the
very
pillars.
New.
I always like that look when you have, like, the old pillars in a gym.
That is a great venue to watch a basketball game in, and it gets loud.
Yeah.
Because they just recently did a lot of work to it.
Yeah, maybe I'll make that trip at some point. I think that'd be fun. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We have Mo Egger from Cincinnati coming up in about 25 minutes time, and maybe we'll get some text in the city going. But the discussion about college football bowl games here that this has turned into, and you can join the conversation at 412-928-9370. There is something else that is an issue, and I know it's a lot of, like, sponsorship money and TV money. That's their main concern. It does kind of suck when you watch the games and it's like the atmosphere from that game just feels non-existent. Like the crowds are pretty much non-existent.
No.
Besides the big games, besides the New Year's Six games, and besides the ones that are the college football playoff games, the crowds are just very lackluster.
Yeah, because, I mean, it doesn't seem like the city that they're hosted in really cares about the game either. It's mainly fan bases that are traveling or people that are living in that city now that are alums or fans of the current team. So, I mean, are they going to decrease the bowl games? Only if they lose money. I don't think that they're going away.
No, I do not think they'll...
The smaller ones.
I mean, how could we possibly lose things like the Staff DNA Cure Bowl?
Or the Bahamas Bowl.
The L.A. Bowl hosted by Gronk.
We need that.
The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl.
Yes. The Detroit Bowl. Just Detroit Bowl. The Rate Bowl.
Man, I don't even know this one. The Camellia Bowl. This apparently is the very first one. December 14th. That feels even earlier than usual.
A couple weeks. It's supposed to be Toledo and James Madison right now is projected. Maybe a little bit of action.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Brett McMurphy one. He has Liberty in South Alabama. So you take those record books and you throw them out the window.
I have Jerry Palm, his projections up. He has Northern Illinois and South Alabama. Northern Illinois, world famous for beating Notre Dame, Donnie. Yeah. In the TBA Extra Bowl, no name.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.